from which we get our English word metamorphosis. So you know some Greek, don't you? And like the metamorphosis of a caterpillar to a pupa to a butterfly, the ugliness of our lives and our conformity to the world can be transformed into something beautiful by God. But it is going to take some work on our part. Train yourselves to be godly, says Paul to his apprentice. He uses another Greek word here that you know, even if you don't know that you know until now. But let me give it to you. I may pronounce this wrong. See if you can work out what the word is. Gymnazo. Gymnastics, spot on, Pat. Well done. It is the word from which we get gymnastics and gymnasts, and essentially it means train. It means train. And we know, says Timothy, that, or Paul to Timothy, that physical training is of some value, even if we don't do enough of it. But, says Paul, godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. In other words, it's useful for the here and now, but also for the hereafter. And training for godliness is something that we can all do. For about 2 years, I was a member of the gym down the road at Swan Pool. And I got there about three times a fortnight on average, which wasn't enough. I didn't really enjoy it, but I did, I think, get a little bit fitter. But like all of us, you know, when we go to the gym, I just knew that inside of me was a six-pack waiting to get out. Then the gym closed during the pandemic, and my regime all fell to pieces, and I never went back again. Looking back, what I needed to make it enjoyable, or at least more tolerable, was a personal trainer to give me a training program. That's expensive though, isn't it? And apart from the induction session at the gym, which you had to have, I never used one. But it would have helped also, I think, to have a gym buddy alongside me so that we could encourage each other as we did our various exercises. And I think what we need if we are to grow in godliness is both a personal trainer, yes, and a training program. And lo and behold, we have one. See, our personal trainer is Jesus, and the training program is to be found in the Bible. We'd probably agree, though, that we also need a little bit of help and encouragement to be trained by Jesus. And so if you are part of one of our life groups, as many of us are, you have that help and encouragement. We learn, don't we, alongside one another, learning from the Master Jesus and, God willing, becoming more like him. And our Practicing the Way course is giving us tools, as I said a couple of weeks ago, to see him more clearly, to love him more dearly, to follow him more nearly, day by day. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 40, Jesus says, "The apprentice is not above the rabbi, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their rabbi." Now, our rabbi is Jesus, the Son of God. And he says, we can be like him. Now, of course, we will never reach his level of godliness, but we can get closer and become more like him. How cool is that, to become at least more like Jesus, to become closer to the Jesus that we see, that we know, that we want to be more like? Unlike personal trainers at the gym, he trains us free of charge, although it will cost us time. It will cost us really the rest of our lifetime to become more and more like him. I wonder if you were here last week or the week before, do you remember our aims as apprentices to Jesus? Indeed, I said these aims at the beginning of the service, didn't I? These aims are to be with Jesus. Yes. Next one, to become like Jesus. And the third one, do what Jesus did, or do what Jesus does, because he still does things today. So becoming like Jesus begins by being with him. How do we move on to become like him? And it happens as we allow ourselves to be spiritually formed by the training program that he gives us in the Bible. Our application working with his inspiration. Our efforts empowered by his spirit within us. We follow his practices. We'll look more at the practices next week in our cafe church service. But for now, broadly speaking, this means following Jesus' practice of things like Sabbath, rest, prayer, fasting, that could be an interesting one to think about, solitude, generosity, devotion to Scripture, community with one another, service and witness. 9 practices that we'll have an opportunity to think about, although, to be honest, to think about those we'll need much longer than the 8 weeks we're spending in practicing the way, and we may go on to some of those in the future. But through practicing the way of Jesus, we gradually become obedient to God the Father, as is Jesus the Son. We become loving of one another through practicing the way, as is Jesus of us. We are being filled by God the Spirit, as Jesus is filled by the Spirit. So we learn about the practices from the teaching of Jesus. We learn of the teaching of Jesus through one of the practices, devotion to Scripture. And we need to remember that Jesus himself was shaped and formed by the Hebrew Scriptures, what we call the Old Testament. He didn't dispense with the Old Testament, but he came to fulfill it and to invest those Scriptures with new meaning. At the start of Matthew chapter 5, we find Jesus' popularity growing as people hear about this new emerging rabbi. And there he goes up onto a mountainside. He sits down, the traditional repose of a rabbi about to teach. And the next words say, his disciples came to him and he began to teach them. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. We need to come to Jesus so that he can teach us. What follows is the Sermon on the Mount, one of the greatest tracts of teaching ever that has influenced many influential people, not necessarily just Christians. I wonder when was the last time you read the Sermon on the Mount? It's worth reading. It has so much to say to us about how we should live our lives day by day, personally and in community. Jesus hits us with some of the Ten Commandments. You shall not murder. Do not commit adultery. And we may puff up with pride and say, well, I've never done those things. Then Jesus tells us that even doing them in our hearts, even thinking of such things is sinful, is wrong. He tells us to turn the other cheek if someone hits us and let them hit us again. He says to love our enemies and pray for them. And in the Sermon on the Mount, he teaches us to give and to pray and to fast, to serve, to be generous, and to not judge others. And near the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus challenges his disciples, us, to practice and teach all his commands. At the ending of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. This is the person whose faith will stand when storms come, the one who hears the teaching of Jesus and puts it into practice. And Jesus contrasts that with the foolish person who hears Jesus' words and doesn't put them to practice. That person's faith will fall victim to the storms of life. We need to practice what Jesus teaches, and to do that we need to read and to hear Jesus' teaching. Not just once a year or once a month or once a week, but ideally every day. Much like the practice of prayer that I talked about 2 weeks ago, we need to identify a place free from distractions to do this, and a quiet time that works for us. We need to, in a sense, try and enter into quiet, to come to quiet, and consciously come into God's presence, and open our hearts to God in prayer, and ask Him to speak to us through Scripture. And then we read it. Then we read it. Not hopefully too hastily, but we maybe just read a short chunk so we can go back over it over and over again and ask what the Lord is saying to us through that. There are various things that can help us with reading the Bible, all sorts of different things. I've been quite an evangelist for Lectio 365 over the past few years, which is an online Bible reading app that you can download for free if you've got a smartphone. So Lectio 365. That has a good daily reading. In fact, it has three times daily reading should you choose to use it: morning, midday, and evening. The evening one is shorter, thankfully, but the other two a bit longer. But you could go for a Bible reading plan. You could go for study notes that can be bought in local Christian bookshops, if you can find them. Where is the nearest one? Oxford? Great Missenden? Stony Stratford? Yeah, Stony Stratford, there is one as well. So there are possibilities there. But if you need advice on that, please do ask me, or maybe ask in your life groups, or ask someone else who is here. The important thing, though, is to read regularly and listen for Jesus' voice coming to you. Will you do that if you're not already? And if you are already, don't stop, carry on doing it. But will you do that? See, as you read the Bible, Old and New Testament, gradually it becomes a part of you. And you draw upon it. You draw upon its teaching as the Holy Spirit reminds you of it. And that helps you to get through all sorts of situations in life. I would say, ultimately, every situation in life. Let me finish with an example. Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, "Do not worry." How many of us have ever worried? This week? Today? In the last 5 minutes, maybe? You know, we're all there, aren't we? We all fall victim to that. Jesus says, "Do not worry." So it should be easy, shouldn't it, not to worry? Let me be honest, I've been worrying a lot lately. Wendy and I have been trying to sell our little house in Peterborough so that we can add the proceeds to other resources and buy a home for our future. 2 weeks ago, after a long and torturous process, and those of you who have bought and sold houses will relate to this, it seemed the solicitors were finally ready to exchange contracts. This is it, we thought. Ben, one of the solicitors, not ours, threw a spanner in the works that needed resolving. The days went by. At the start of last week, again, it seemed as though it was about to happen. Another delay from the solicitor down the chain, and in fact from the lender that was funding one of the transactions. I resorted to daily phone calls to both my estate agent and solicitor. Thought, I'm going to really annoy them. Actually, they were really good. But it wasn't their fault, and I got that. And I have to admit that during the early part of last week, I wasn't sleeping too well. These worries dwell on your mind, don't they? And I was probably distracted in the daytime as well. Then I thought, this is crazy. I remembered a scripture that I know, have shared with many of you at different times. And I lay there in my bed in the early hours of the morning, repeating it to myself. Here it is. Do not be anxious about anything. To which you kind of think, yeah, right. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So I did that. I dwelt on those words, and I prayed them through the dark. I could only do that in the dark because I knew them. Could have switched the light on, but Wendy wouldn't have been too pleased about that. But I could only do it because I knew them, I knew the sense of what they said. And you know, having done that, I went back to sleep till the alarm went. The next two nights, as all of this stress and strain was going on, I still got the 7 or so hours of sleep that I need, which I hadn't got for the previous few nights, even though there was still much uncertainty. See, there's a second part to that scripture as well. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. You know, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So, the next two nights, I got those 7 hours of sleep. Then, Friday morning came. I phoned the solicitor again. I phoned the estate agent again. At 3 o'clock Friday afternoon, we exchanged contracts. Yay! Now, verses like Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, are not a magic spell that fulfill our every wish. The reasons for our concern may still be there. Yet as we learn from the scriptures, God's word in the scriptures, and apply them to our lives, we learn more and more of the God who loves us more than we can ever know, who wants what is best for us and holds us in his arms in all things. Simply owning those words, do not be anxious, and adding our thanksgiving and prayers will remind us of who God is and that he is always there for us. Try it with your cares and your worries. And I believe the second half of that reading will always be true when we come to God. Seeking not to be anxious, that may be difficult, but there are degrees of anxiety, aren't there, and worry. But it will always be true when we pray to God. We can always know the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guarding our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And as we learn more from God's word, as we learn more from other parts of his word, there is more and more and more that we can apply to our lives as disciples of Jesus, our lives in the world. So let's pray, and then we're going to have a final song. Thank you, Father, for your word, for your Son who speaks it to us, and for your Spirit who illumines it within us. Teach us how to read it with you, that we may learn to love its wisdom, goodness, and truth, growing in your way. Help us to apply your word to our lives. And I pray, Lord, especially for anyone who is here this morning, who is filled with anxiety, filled with worry, due to things that they're going through at the present time. Lord, may they turn to you in their anxiety, in their uncertainty, maybe in lack of faith, maybe not even knowing for sure that you are there. Lord, hear those prayers for an end to the situation maybe that causes the worry, or an end to the worry itself. And may your peace that passes all understanding come in and guard their hearts and their minds. In Jesus. Amen.